Joining us right now on PMP Network is the lovely Ellen Foley. Ellen,
lovely. I like that.
How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. I'm in New York. The sun is shining. Life looks better than it has recently.
That's good, because the sun hasn't been shining too much around the East Coast.
Yeah. Maybe it'll come up your way soon.
Well, we hope so, because Ellen Foley is going to be in Boston on March 21st at Johnny D's Uptown Restaurant and Music Club in Somerville, and she'll be debuting her new album, About Town. About Time.
About Time, actually. About Time.
Yeah. I don't even have the CD. I thought I would have it here and be able to play it, but I don't have
it. Okay, well, we'll fix that. I'll get it to you.
I thought I would have an autographed CD here, but I have nothing.
Oh, sorry.
It's About Time that I got a CD.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, the title has several meanings. It's about time that I made a record. It's about time in my life. You know, it's a sort of looking back, looking forward, checking it all out. So
I know that
the title has some layers to it, which I like a lot.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, you know, when I mention Ellen Foley, what is everybody's response is the same. Paradise by the Dashboard Light, From Bad to Hell. That must have been quite an experience going out there and doing that album. I assume you toured with Meatloaf for a while.
No, I did not tour with them.
No.
We made the record. It was quite an experience doing it up in Woodstock at Todd Rundgren's studio, Utopia. But right after the album was made, I was doing TV, I was doing hair on Broadway, and then off the strength of the record, I got my own record deal, so I did not tour.
Oh, wow. Because I know you've actually put out a few CDs, and they've all been very well regarded.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
So tell us, this is the first one for, when's the last one you released before this?
The last one I released was in 1983.
Wow.
Believe it or not.
Wow.
So, ergo, it's about time.
Wow.
That's right.
1983.
Yeah, it's my last record. I said, I don't want to be my own boss anymore. I went back to the theater. I did Broadway. I did film. I got married in 1989. I have two kids, and it didn't come until 2007 when I met a guy named Paul Foglino, who wrote all the songs on the record, and we took some time, we performed, we developed it, and it's the right time for me.
So,
it was good that I took some time off, because I think this really reflects a lot of my strengths.
So you took 30 years off, but you raised
a long time.
Well, you raised two children, though, so that's quite a thing too. But
yes, it is.
Either of the children musically gifted?
I think one of my sons can sing and play the guitar, but it's not really what he chooses to do. Of course, they both had piano lessons as children, but we all know how that turns out a lot of times. But I don't think it's the path that either of them are going to be taking.
Hmm. Now, you also did a lot of acting as well through the years, and I understand you have a new film that's going to be released as well.
I do. It's a film called Lies I Told My Little Sister. And it's making the festival rounds right now, looking for a distributor. It's, you know, an indie film. I play the mother of some young girls. It's sort of a family dramedy. It's a lot of fun. It's very good.
You know, I got a bunch of emails from people when we said we were having you on the show today.
And, you did?
I always do, yeah, because, you know, people have all these questions for Ellen Foley.
Okay,
and
I love that.
Someone wrote in from New York, actually, and said that one of their favorite shows was Night Court, and they wanted to know how about your experience on that show.
It was a lot of fun. I was a bit of a fish out of water, because I was instantly transplanted. One day I was a New Yorker, next day I lived in L.A., so that's quite an adjustment. But the work part of it was a lot of fun.
Are you in contact with...
It was a good experience. It was a good a comedy education. Served me really well.
Are you in connection still with any of the people from the show?
I am not.
No. That's interesting. A lot of those guys went on to other series, and Night Court was a huge hit.
asked. It ran for quite some time.
Yeah, you also did a lot of Broadway stuff and other films. I didn't realize that you were in Tootsie and Fatal Attraction. I didn't remember those.
I was in Tootsie, Fatal Attraction, Hair, Married to the Mob.
And Cocktail. You know. Cocktail you did, too. Right?
Cocktail, yeah. Right. With Tom. I had a great scene with Tom Cruise where I called him an a-hole.
Wow.
He wasn't, though. He was a really nice guy. But I got to say it on screen, which was, it got some attention. That was fun.
So during the 30 years when you were raising two children and away from the limelight, were there times that you missed that limelight, or was it pretty much fun just to be away?
It was a lot of fun. You know, it was a really conscious choice on my part. I definitely didn't want to, like, go out and try for things, audition for things, do anything that was going to take me away from New York. It was never something I wanted to do.
Yeah.
But I did theater. I did, you know, some recording, a lot of some TV stuff. So I never receded altogether. I kept working, just not out there so much.
Tell us a little bit about the new CD in terms of the music. What are we expecting here for folks who expected some of the stuff you did years ago?
Yeah, it's quite different. It's I think what I did before, at least my first album was that A Night Out was really an extension of the Meatloaf stuff. It was very Wall of Sound, you know, came from the girl group tradition. It was produced by Mick Ronson and Ian Hunter. This is kind of rootsy. It is a lot of Stones influence. How do I say? They're calling it Americana. I really, you know, I would never, you know, see myself as quote unquote Americana because I'm a pretty urban person. But I guess it does have, you know, some overtones of that. Yeah. And you know, like if I say Stones, you know, some of the Stones, countryish kind of Stones, you know, but.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very rock and roll. You know, it's got a lot of different aspects to it. And there were some really good ballads that I'm able to stretch on.
Well, I actually went to ellenfoley.com and listened to some of the stuff. It's good.
Oh, good.
It's
good.
Very good.
So
it's very good.
You have some idea.
Yeah, it's actually
of
really
what
good.
What it is.
Yeah, I liked it. And in fact, you can listen to the songs before you buy it. And I listened to a lot of them, so I liked it. The music
was good.
That's
right. Everybody can go to ellenfoley.com. Check it out. It's available on all the outlets, iTunes, CD Baby, Amazon, etc., etc. But you can take a listen.
Now, someone from Boston writes, and I'm not sure about this thing, but I'll ask you. He said that you were the inspiration for "Should I Stay or Should I Go" by The Clash. What's that about?
Well, that you know that I always say I can neither confirm nor deny. But I was you know with Mick Jones for a couple of years, and he actually produced my second album. And I don't know, I don't have it you know firsthand, but it's become urban legend that's about me. So maybe it is.
Maybe it could be.
Maybe it is.
Could be. You know, I didn't know this either, but an emailer wrote it that you actually did the backup vocals on Joe Jackson's. Is She Really Going Out With Him and Stepping Out, that whole album?
No, I did some of it. It wasn't quite as I didn't do all the songs that were in my bio, you know. But I did do some stuff for him
because that was a huge album. I love that record.
Yeah. I mean, it's terrible. My memory. I'm not even exactly sure which songs I sang on, but I don't think I sang "Is She Really Going Out With Him."
Really.
I don't think so.
Wow, so we can clear up the misconceptions that are out there.
That's right.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. But
that's
you also
why having this conversation with you is good.
Yeah. Did you also do some background for Blue Oyster Cult as well?
I did. I did. It was a song called Money, I think, and a couple of songs, and they were a lot of fun. They were great guys, and I ran into Albert again many years later. He had a kid at my my son's school, and we did a benefit, and we got up and we sang those songs together. So it was kind of a funny way to come back in contact.
Yeah, that's funny.
But they were really, really nice guys. That was a fun experience.
Yeah, Blois de Calde, every time I hear them, I just think of, you know, the Reaper.
Of course, and yeah. You think of, you know, more cowbell.
Yeah, I mean, those were huge, huge hits.
Yes,
I hear the traffic outside you.
Yeah, sorry about that.
New York traffic.
That's right. You know, yeah. my bedroom window faces Broadway. For better or worse, I see a lot of interesting things, but, you know, when you're trying to do a radio interview, it's a little noisy. I'm sorry about
that's
that.
That's okay. When your three solo albums were out, they were on Epic Records. That was a huge company.
Epic in a, you know, a smaller label distributed by Epic called Cleveland International. Is that the same label that Meatloaf was on?
So what label are you on now?
It's called Urban Noise.
Urban Noise.
Urban Noise. It's my own label.
Ah, smart. So you finally now own your own stuff.
That's right.
Yeah.
Urban Noise, which, as you see, it's quite relevant, because what you're hearing now is what?
Urban Noise.
Urban Noise.
Exactly. Yeah. But I think that's it's a very interesting thing. We've talked to a lot of artists who ended up, after being on these huge labels with very little control, starting their own stuff. And, you know, it's a little bit of a, it's ambiguous, because you also have to become a businesswoman when you do that. And sometimes you lose a little of the creativity from that.
Yeah, well, you know, I am so far from being a businesswoman. Luckily, I've got some good management. But yeah, I am much more aware. You know, I've made myself be much more aware of the mechanics of trying to get it out there. And, I mean, that's sort of hard. It is true. But, yeah, sometimes when you're out there, oh, I want to promote my record, da-da-da, let's book dates. I sort of think, oh, well, the music seems a little remote right now. What about this record? I haven't even actually thought about the music for a little bit. But then you have a gig and you get back, and I'm starting, you know, this March 21st gig at Johnny D's, which I hope all your Boston listeners will come to.
We hope so.
I'm really counting on my old fans, because I, you know, had a really strong fan base in Boston, so I really need them to come out. It would be so much fun. But anyway, the point is that, you know, you get back and, you know, I'm going to spend a lot of time between now and then actually playing the music, you know, so, and knowing what the thing is really about for me.
Yeah. When you first heard the finished product of Paradise by the Dashboard Light, what did you think?
I thought, you know, I was always so on board with it, because Jim Steinman and Meatloaf and I had worked in a thing called the National Lampoon Show, and I was pretty much there at the inception of it and the development, and I was just so involved with it. But, you know, what Todd Rundgren came in and added was amazing. It was more than I think I would ever expect it to be. You know, it's a huge sound. His guitar playing is incredible. The vocal arrangements are amazing. So I always knew it could be something great, but then he elevated it to a fabulous degree. The whole album, really.
Yeah, it is an amazing icon of rock, that whole album. But the song with Phil Rizzuto announcing it and everything, what inspired the sounds that you made in that?
You mean the sounds, the moaning, the groaning,
yes,
the this
yes.
and that? I'll tell you a little secret about that. That wasn't me. It was Jim Steinman.
Get out of here. No. No.
I think he was so happy to be doing that.
No.
Yeah, that was Steinman.
The woman sound of moaning and groaning was Jim's?
Yeah. That was all Jim.
Oh, no. That just crushed my... Every guy my age is like, oh, my God. God.
Sorry about that. But everything else is me. I promise. I guess I wasn't, you know, the album, you know, it took a year at least. It went through so many mixes, so many people mixing it. You know, I probably wasn't around when it was time to do that. And Jim, you know, was like, I'll do it.
That is so funny.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Wow. I'm just really disappointed now. I'm just crushed.
I'm sorry.
I'm crushed.
Let's rewind the tape and pretend I never told you that.
Wow. Ellen Foley will be at Johnny D's on March 21st, starting at 8 o'clock in Somerville. You can get her new album, About Time. Check it out at ellenfoley.com/music, and you can check it out, because I like it. I think it's a really good music. I love it.
And, thank you very much, Mark, and I'm going to make sure you get the disc.
That would be good, but I did get to listen to it online, which is good, at least.
Okay, good. I'm so glad you like it, because I'm really proud of it.
And I hope you have a great time in Boston. I know you say here you're Irish, so Boston's your kind of place?
My kind of place, my kind of people.
Yep.
Will I see you there?
I do not think so, unfortunately, because I actually live on the Cape. So it's kind
I see.
Yeah, it's kind of like a couple hours away.
That's a schlep, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, but it was great to talk to you, though, Ellen.
It was great to talk to you, Mark.
Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.